loud as we can so it reaches the heavens for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One, two, three. We love you, Lord. We love you so much. So look at someone and say, I'm glad you came. Look at someone else and say, 24/7 loves you. Yes. So welcome to 24/7. I'm so glad you're here. We are going to continue in game, and we're talking about in game. And in game is about what again? Your in game, and what should your in game be? God, that's a good start. We're at church, and in game, we got to start all over again. Leanna, we got to start all over again. Dang it. All right, I'm going back to in game week one. So we're talking about in game. In game, ultimately, my in game is salvation, okay? So when I close my eyes, guess what? I want to open my eyes in heaven and God to say, well done, good and faithful servant. That should be your in game. After a long, prosperous life of school, college, work, kids, career, boyfriend, girlfriend, husband, wife, dating, all that kind of stuff, and marriage, end game. And then, ministry, career, your end game. And you're like, I'm just trying to get through the summer. So end game, salvation, ultimately. We're looking at salvation, and then now we're also talking about the armor of God and knowing your enemy. So last week we talked about knowing your enemy, how the enemy uses different bait. So the enemy uses bait to pull you in, and he uses different bait. He studies all your situations, all the things that you're going through in life. So we talked about, master of choosing the right kind of bait to snag you, detecting the enemy's strategy is the first step in defeating him. The enemy uses some bait that works primarily for everyone, and we call that bottom feeders, that he'll, you can catch catfish on a hot dog, and he uses specific bait to snare, certain people. So if you have a call on your life, he goes after your call. You guys remember any of that? Okay, you're scaring me. So taking into account, he takes into account. So the enemy studies you. First and foremost, the enemy studies you. You think there, so one of his greatest feats is to make you think that there is no enemy. But the enemy studies your every move. So he studies your weakness, your strengths, your interests, your tendencies, your history, your past abuses, your passions. He tries to dim your desire to pray and serve God. He attacks your focus. Your identity, he magnifies your insecurities. Your family, he tries to cause wedges between you and your family, your mom, your dad, your siblings, brothers, sisters. Your confidence, he's constantly reminding you of your past mistakes. Your calling, he amplifies the fear, worry, and anxiety so that it's so much louder than God's voice in your life. So God calls you. So God can call you to do, certain things in a ministry. You're called to worship. And guess what? He's going to magnify things in your life. You're trying to get into school or college. You're trying to get on a band. You're trying to just, learn a craft or instrument. He's going to put obstacles in your way to deter you from fulfilling that destiny. Some people may be called into the ministry. So he's going to put fear of speaking in public. He's going to put certain fear and anxiety in you to keep you from moving in God's direction. So he's after your rest. He's after so many things, your relationships, And that's how he works. He doesn't fight fair. So that was last week. This week we're going to jump right in, and we're looking at the armor of God, but we're looking at knowing your enemy. I need a good reader, someone that can read real good and just, Come on, Layla. We missed you last week. Give it up for Layla. So this is in Ephesians, and Layla, go ahead and start reading.
Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for the Lord's people.
Amen. Give it up for her. Yes. All right. So you wrestle not against flesh and blood. You wrestle not against Sarah and Rebecca, against Tim and Chris. You don't wrestle against your friends and the people sitting next to you. The enemy makes you think that those are your foes and your enemies, but you wrestle against spiritual principalities, against things that you can't even see. And the enemy is infamous at weapons of mass deception and deceiving you to think that you're fighting against each other, your sister, your mom, your dad, when it really is the enemy at work in your life. So we're going to be talking about the armor of God, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. But before we get into warfare, I really want you to know your enemy and what you're up against. So knowing your enemy, your adversary, first and foremost, is the most important thing. And knowing how to combat or defend him. So knowing your enemy and how he works, we talked about that. We're going to pick up again where we left off last week. So this is the question I want to ask you to ask yourself is, what is my flesh's tendencies, my intimate passions, and my weaknesses? Because that's how the enemy attacks us. We talked about that last week. So we all have tendencies. We all have them. Some of them are inherent. Some of them are passed down. Some of them we pick up. We're creatures of habit. So we all have tendencies. So you may have a tendency to procrastinate. Any procrastinators out there? What am I procrastinating spirits? Like, yeah, see what I'm saying? So we have these tendencies. And we want to speak those over, though, because I have one, too, and I want to speak to that right now in the name of Jesus. I just pray that we don't have a spirit of procrastination, that we just like to take our time in the moment. No, that's not, that don't even sound right. That don't even sound right, dude. Lord, forgive me. Don't strike me. So a spirit of procrastination, but we have tendencies. We have an opinion towards particular tastes and interests, passions and curiosities. So the enemy attacks us in these areas. Some are good, some are bad. Some may be sensitive or embarrassing, some of these tendencies. There's work tendencies, there's ethic tendencies, there's all types of different tendencies that we all develop over the years. And again, some are good, some are bad. Some may be sensitive, some may be embarrassing. And these are the things that you don't want people to know about you. These are the tendencies. So we have some tendencies that we don't want people to know about us, you know. And those are the ones that the enemy tries to exploit the most about us, to catch us off guard and to blow our spot up, to make us feel embarrassed, humiliated, unaccepted. So he doesn't fight fair. So knowing your enemy, knowing your adversary, how he works, these are the enemies that these are exactly what he tries to do against us. How the enemy tries to use our hurts, our past failures against us. God bless you. So the enemy is always trying to use, he studies us. So he tried using past hurts. So I've had relationships in the past that didn't work, that were just, you know, that scarred me. I was hurt in some of these relationships to the point to where I was like, you know what? I'm never getting married because I don't trust anybody. And I was bitter towards, you know, just relationships and whatever. So the enemy tried to use my past hurts to keep me from doing exactly what the word says, for God to for a man and woman to become one. So had I allowed the enemy to continue to use these past hurts, I would have never married my beautiful wife, who I have two amazing kids with to this day. So he tried to use those past hurts. He tried to use those past hurts with me with offense and all types of things in my life, and where people were just, you know, I was just always getting offended. And there was, I was at the hand of a lot of prejudice things that happened in my life. And he was trying to get me. I was so angry at the world that I wouldn't let people in. I had trust issues. I wouldn't trust anyone because of the past hurts. And what he was trying to do is keep me on an island isolated instead of, you know, being conduit for God and just being able to just love and just be there for people. Had I allowed the enemy to use his strategy against me, I wouldn't be up here today because I'd be in a cocoon or in a fetal position in a corner, you know, somewhere crying and just, you know, defeated. I didn't allow those things to happen, but that's what he tries to do. He tries to use those past hurts so that you don't open up and trust people, that so that you don't, you know, open up and just, you know, allow God to use you. So he uses addictions that run in the family. That could be alcoholism or drug usage that's in the family. So knowing the enemy, how he works, is how you combat, how you fight against him. So if you know that someone in your family struggles with drinking, maybe it's not a good idea for you to pick up that drink. It's not a good idea, period. But if you know that someone in your family is struggling with impurity, then you got to watch yourself because the enemy's going to use that same bait in front of you. He's going to use those same tactics to get you. With drug usage, if you have, I think every family has that, at least one person that kind of struggles with this, at least to my recollection, that's maybe distant or far removed, but I think every family has someone that struggles with some of these things. So, but you got to be careful because the enemy's going to use these same things, the same bait against you to see if he can snare you and pull you in. So knowing your enemy, how he works, is half the battle. So here's where you got to be honest with yourself, though. Here's where you can't pretend that everything's okay, because the enemy, he studies your every move. He studies what you're doing at night. He studies when no one's around. You can't fake it till you make it with this, because the enemy knows. So the more honest you are with yourself, with whatever tendencies you have, whatever weaknesses you have, whatever you're struggling with, you got to be honest with yourself. Oh, no, I'm okay. No, you're not. Maybe. But you got to be honest with yourself first so that you can give these tendencies to God, so that you can, you know, confide in someone and have someone help you through these moments. Because if not, the enemy's going to be right there with a bait, with a lure, with a trap to pull you in. So you've got to be honest with yourself. What practical parameters can you put around yourself to safeguard yourself from the enemy's attempts to bait you in these areas? No matter what it is, whether it be, let's go back to the list of what he uses and what he watches against us. So your weaknesses, your strengths. You know what your weaknesses are. You know what your strengths are. You're super emotional. Are you like just stone cold? You're savage. You have no emotions, and you just always just, you know, just roasting people and doing whatever. Your interests, your tendencies, your history, your past, your passions, your focus, your identity. Do you even know who you are? Because he comes to try to cloud your mind to block out what God has put in your heart so that you don't really know who you are. He magnifies your insecurities. Your family, is he causing family strife or stress in between your family so that you can't have rest and peace and you never want to just even be around that environment because it's always just toxic? There's just all these ways that he uses against us. Your confidence, constantly reminding you of your past mistakes. Your calling, amplifying the fear, worry, and anxiety. Your purity, he's always tempting you toward certain sins, convincing you that it's okay. He knows that it separates you from God, but he's convincing you that it's okay. Your rest, your contentment, overloading you with stress and worry so that you can't have a moment's rest and peace in your mind, your heart. He uses every opportunity to keep old wounds fresh, knowing that anger, hurt, bitterness, and unforgiveness will continue to roll the damage forward. your relationships, using all these things. So he's using these things against you. So again, I want to ask you, what practical parameters can you put around your life to safeguard yourself from the enemy's attempts to bait you in these areas? So what's your strategy? Do you have one? What is your strategy? Do you have a strategy? The enemy's attacking you in all these areas. Read the Bible. That's a good strategy. That's a great strategy. What's your strategy? Real talk, yeah. The armor of God. Give me something that's great. That is the perfect answer. But what is your strategy? The armor of God, reading the Bible. What else? A prayer journal. Surrounding yourself with good people. Yes. Saying no. That's a great one. Saying no. I mean, practical, real life. You're at school, you're in the hallways, and he's attacking you. Yes? Setting boundaries. I love it. Yes. Accountability partners. Real life practical things that we can take out of here. So, yes, go ahead. Any more? Yes. Remembering the good, all his promises. Evaluating the problem, talking to, that's adult answer, man. You gave me an adult answer. That's good. That's evaluating. I love it. Yes, yes. Now we're talking. Now we're talking. Because the enemy's coming. He's been studying us. He's been watching us. So what is your game plan? What is your strategy? Do you even have one? Because guess what? He has one. He's been watching some of you for decades, for 10 years, for 8 years, 4 years. He's been watching you patiently. When you think no one's watching you, he's been watching you. So he knows exactly how to trip you up. So he's been studying you, he's been baiting you, zeroing in on your tendencies, your habits, your appetites, your guilty pleasures, your pleasures. He's been watching. His attack on you has been highly calculated and precise. That's why it hurts and stings so much when you do get attacked. It's close to the heart. He doesn't just throw a little flesh wound at you like, oh, that's, what was that, a mosquito? No, he goes for the heart. Because he's been watching you, and he wants to disable you. He wants to cripple you. He wants to cannibalize you. He wants to get you isolated from the church. So you can't just throw something against the wall and hope it sticks when you're under attack, when he's coming at you. You can't just bluff your way through a spiritual attack that the enemy's thrown at you. You can't just do a Hail Mary prayer. Lord God, I'm not my brother's keeper, and Mary had a little lamb. What else did I read? Noah's ark had animals on it, and you can't do that. For someone that's been studying your every move, you can't just throw something up in the air and hope it works. You got to have a strategy. You got to have a plan. So everything that you guys said is spot on. So, to begin with, prayer. Prayer. Your war strategy starts with prayer. Prayer begins, prayer brings down the power of heaven into your experience and in your situation. Prayer brings down the atmosphere of the heavens into your realm. Gives you access to things that you can't even imagine. But it starts with prayer. The armor of God that we're talking about, it's activated with prayer. Without it, it's useless. And we're going to be talking about that next week, about the armor. We're going to get into the armor of God next week. But prayer is everything. It activates your spiritual armor and makes it effective. prayer alerts the enemy of your awareness of his intentions while safeguarding you from his attack. I'm going to say that again. Prayer alerts the enemy and lets him know that I know what you're doing, Satan. I know what you're trying to do. God has told me what you're trying to do. God bless you. So it alerts the enemy and lets him know that you are aware of his intentions, and it safeguards you from his attack. So prayer is the enemy's kryptonite. Prayer is what demobilizes any attack that the enemy has against you. It's prayer. It's what weakens and unravels all of his strategies against you. It's prayer. So you're like, so just pray? Yeah. Just pray. Unless prayer is a vital and thriving part of your life, you will never achieve spiritual victory. The enemy will always defeat you unless you learn the secret and the power that's wrapped in prayer. Prayer is what connects you with the heavenly places, with God. Prayer is where spiritual battles are won. See, your friend can't win these battles. Your mom can't win these battles for you. Only prayer can win some of these battles that you're going through with depression, with anger, with lust, with drugs, with addictions. Only prayer can break you free from the bondage that the enemy is trying to put you in. And he knows that. That's why he's trying to keep you severed, keep your relationship severed from God. So in Ephesians chapter 6, 18 and 19, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on your prayer of all the Lord's people. Pray also for me that whatever I speak, words may be given to me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel. So prayer, you need a prayer strategy. You need to personalize your prayer. Don't pray in general. Like, Lord, just, yeah, you know what I'm going through. And can you just, yeah, do that thing that you did last time? Pray a personalized prayer. Speak to the situations in your life. Call them out by name. Lust, I call you out right now in my life in the name of Jesus. Spirit of addiction, I break that curse off of me right now. You speak to it, because everything has to bow its knee to the name of Jesus. Remember to always give God thanks for what he's already done and what he's doing in your life, and for the promises that he has in store for you. Ask God to open your spiritual eyes to alert you of the enemy's attack and intentions for you. Lord God, let me see. I prayed that prayer so many times. Sometimes it's daunting. Sometimes it hurts to see, because sometimes it's people that you least expect, but they're being used by the enemy, just like God uses people, the enemy uses people. But pray that God, open my eyes. Let me see the enemy's intentions for me. Ask God to give you the courage to lay down the physical and worldly weapons that you've been using instead of the spiritual weapons. The worldly weapons that have no effect. The worldly weapons that just drain you. The worldly weapons that make you feel good for just a couple seconds. And then they're fleeting and they just leave you. Give me the courage to lay down these physical weapons. You know, we're so quick to pull up social media. I'm not feeling so good, so let me pull up this social media because it's going to make me feel good, right? Just for a moment. Look at how many likes I got. See, people do like me. Just for a moment. So give me the courage to put down these worldly weapons that I'm using instead of using the spiritual weapons that you've given me. So prayer is a conversation with your Heavenly Father. You don't have to use big words and make it sound like poetry and, Lord God, I pray, I will, I may, I might tonight, this prayer take flight. Doesn't have to be poetry. Lord God, I'm in pain right now. Speak to him. Just like you would speak to your Father. He's your Heavenly Father. You speak to him. He's not looking for you to have these big $15, $20 college words. And, well, if I extrapolate the revelation and the rhema from, he's not looking for that. He's looking for something that's genuine and heartfelt from you. And he's looking for the truth, for you to be honest with yourself and with him. And it's a conversation with your Heavenly Father. Lord God, I messed up. Yeah, I know, I messed up a couple times, but just give me the strength to stop making the wrong decisions and choices. You just talk to him. But that prayer is what unlocks the heavens for you. It's what unlocks the promises for you. That prayer. So in Psalms 34, verse 15, it says, the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are attentive to their cry. So he's listening. God is listening. 1 John 5:14 says that this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. James 5:16, the prayers of a righteous man and a woman are powerful and effective. James 5:13 says, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. So prayer is all over the Bible. Matthew 26:41 says, watch and pray so that we will not fall into temptation. I'm going to read that again. Watch and pray so that we do not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So God knows that our flesh is weak. So he's saying, watch and pray. In Luke 11, chapter 11, verse 2 and 4, says, he said to them, When you pray, he didn't say if you pray. He said, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be thy name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for as we also forgive anyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation. So when we pray, so I just want to encourage you. If you don't have a prayer life to get one, if you don't have a prayer life to get one, because that is the only way to come against the enemy that's going to be coming at you. He's going to eat your lunch in school, in work, in relationships. If you want to keep being defeated and keep being, you know, just manipulated and keep feeling how you're feeling, then ignore everything that I'm saying. Yeah, I'm good. I'll keep being depressed and unhappy and feeling like I don't fit in and I don't count and I don't matter. And if that's you and you're okay with that, I hope it's not, then ignore everything that I'm saying. But if that is you and you're saying, I don't want to do this anymore, I don't want to feel the way that I'm feeling anymore, then I want to encourage you to get a prayer life. I want to encourage you to lean in on these next weeks as Leanna and I are talking about the end game and the armor of God. I want to encourage you to take notes, because I guarantee you're going to have to reflect back on what we're talking about in your life. I promise you, you will. What did he say again? What was that again? I can't remember. Don't rely on your memory. Take notes. But I want to encourage you to have a prayer life. Get a prayer journal. Start writing out prayers specifically about things in your life so that you, and put them where you can see them. If you struggle with tendencies, or you struggle with strongholds, then strategically put a prayer together saying, Lord God, help me in this situation. Give me the strength. Give me the courage to say no. Give me the wisdom and the knowledge to make the right decisions. Because because the enemy doesn't want you to succeed. He doesn't want you to be the worshiper. He doesn't want you to go and be the doctor or the lawyer or whatever you want to be, whatever God's called you to be. He doesn't want that to happen. So he's going to put any kind of bait that he can to snare you, to get you off your game. So get a prayer life and talk to him, just like you talk to your friends. Well, maybe. How you talk to your friends. Just talk to him. He just wants to hear from you. Lord God, how's your day? I bet people don't ask how his day. God, how's your day going? You know? Most of the time we pray is like we want something or we need something or something's going on or there's, you know, calamity or, you know, all these things are happening. Lord God, just thank you for the air that I breathe. Thank you that I'm able to walk on my two legs. Thank you that I can see. You know, just things that we take for granted, little things that aren't so little to some people that don't have them. But just speak to them. Just talk to them. But pray. Prayer unlocks everything. So, I want everyone to close their eyes. Just close your eyes for a minute. I want you to see yourself how God sees you. So God sees you. He made you in his image. He sees you as being beautiful, handsome, smart, resilient. God has a sense of humor, so he sees you as being funny. Wonderfully, beautifully crafted in his image. So now I want you to see some of your greatest, think about some of your greatest achievements that you've done in your life. No matter what that may be, how far you go back, think of some of the greatest achievements in your life. I want you to think about your future. Where do you see yourself in 3 years? 5 years? Where do you see yourself? Some of you may know the call on your life. Some of you may not. Some of you know the direction that you're going in. Some of you may not at this point, but where do you see yourself? Because until you can see yourself the way God sees yourself, until you can see your future the way God sees your future, the enemy is able to infiltrate and cloud your judgment and cloud that vision. Do you see yourself being successful? Do you see yourself accomplishing what you want to accomplish? Because, God bless you, one of the only ways to do that is through prayer and through putting on the whole armor of God and just saturating yourself and just continuing to bathe yourself in prayer. So now, it's on you. Your future is going to be on you. There's going to be a point in time where mom and dad aren't there because you're an adult. You're grown up. The foundation that you make right now is so paramount. It's so precedent. It's so important for your future to happen. whatever you just saw, whatever you had a glimpse of right now, in order for that to happen, it determines the foundation that you set in motion right now. So I want to encourage you to build that foundation on God's word, to build that foundation on prayer, to build that foundation on godly principles, if you want it to happen, if you want it to come to pass. Because if not, the enemy is going to continue to watch you. He's going to continue to study your every move to try to cripple you and to try to deter you from accomplishing what you want to accomplish, whatever your goals are, whatever your dreams are, whatever your passions are. He's going to continue to put that bait in front of you, whether it be a cute little girl or a handsome young man. He's going to continue to try to get you off your game. But somebody say, not today, Satan. I said, not today, Satan. Not today, not tomorrow, not any day. So you can open your eyes before someone falls asleep. So by the time this series is over, the goal is that you're equipped and you're ready for whatever the enemy has to throw against you. Whatever life has to throw against you, whatever the world has to throw against you, whatever friends or family have to throw against you, that you'll be ready for whatever the enemy really throws against you, because he uses people. And you'll have a strategy. And that strategy starts with prayer. Amen? Amen. That's the message for tonight.